Medicaid expansion in Arizona was full of political tension. Then-Governor Jan Brewer was in favor, but it took an across-the-aisle move by a few legislative Republicans moving to roll the Senate president to make the expansion a reality. Since then, there have been lawsuits and numerous attempts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. And now, after an analysis, the Goldwater Institute has issued a report called The Arizona Medicaid Expansion Experience: Beware the Peddlers of Cost-Shifting Claims. With me to talk about it is Naomi Lopez-Bauman, Goldwater's Director of Healthcare Policy. Naomi, how has the Medicaid expansion not lived up to expectations, particularly as it relates to costs?
The Arizona experience provides somewhat of a cautionary tale for lawmakers across the country who are also considering Medicaid expansion. Of course, there's a strong desire to make sure that there's a robust safety net and that people who need health care get it. But the question is Medicaid expansion really the right way to go? What we looked at in our study was taking a look at one of the big claims that was made that hospital cost shifting was occurring. That means that when uninsured patients were being treated at hospitals, those costs were being passed on to private payers, and that would result in higher insurance premiums for everyone. So what we did is we reconstructed one of the models that was created before the expansion fight, and that was used very heavily to justify expansion, and a lot of lawmakers relied on this. And what we found is that if one does believe the hospital cost-shifting argument, which really has been invalidated in the academic literature over and over again, but if one believes it, cost-shifting to private payers amounted to about 14% above hospitals' costs. And the hospitals and other interests were claiming that you needed expansion in order to alleviate that cost-shift burden on the private payers. So what we did is we went back and looked and found that private payers actually paid 27% above hospital costs in 2016. So in other words, 3 years into Medicaid expansion, the proportion of cost shifting, if you do believe the cost shift argument, had actually increased. And this is really important because in the Arizona expansion law, there was no accountability and no transparency in terms of what hospitals would be allowed to charge payers. But in our study, we found that hospitals actually increased charges on all payers.
One of the hopes was that Medicaid expansion would relieve emergency rooms of the burden of having so many uninsured people who were deciding that since they were without, they would not be refused service in an emergency room, so they would go. How has that turned out in terms of the costs?
What we did find is that utilization increased amongst all payers, but it increased dramatically amongst Medicaid. And one of the, part of the thinking, and this has been examined in other academic studies as well, is that because you don't have a fear of getting a big hospital bill, if you have insurance of some kind, that you might use it more whenever other options might be more appropriate or might be available. In our study, we looked specifically at emergency room visits where there was no admission. In other words, the person went home. And so whenever we take a look at the utilization, it does suggest that people might overutilize emergency departments when they could have they could possibly take other lower cost options. And this is really a concern because that is unnecessary spending. Hospital emergency rooms are far more expensive than going to a regular provider. Now, on the flip side, we do know that under the Affordable Care Act, millions and millions of Medicaid cards were handed out without actually expanding access. And so there is that fundamental, tension in the program where, it's not surprising that utilization of emergency rooms would dramatically increase given that nothing was done on the access end.
What's an alternative to providing some sort of making sure that the lower income folks have some sort of protection, which protects them, but also protects the greater community potentially?
The federal and state governments operate dozens of healthcare programs. And I think there needs to be a full scale evaluation of how those programs are actually meeting the needs of the most vulnerable. And so I think that approaches that look at partial subsidies for moving the able bodies into private coverage is a much better approach. Also making available lower cost options like telemedicine, like direct primary care, which not only are lower cost, but they actually improve access because you can get more immediate access than you can under the Medicaid program. There are typically very long waiting times to get into a provider if providers are even seeing Medicaid patients.
That's Naomi Lopez-Bauman, Director of Healthcare Policy for the Goldwater Institute. For a different perspective on Medicaid expansion, or what he refers to as Medicaid restoration, I spoke with Greg Vigdor, president and CEO of the Arizona Hospital and Healthcare Association. I started by asking him for his response to the Goldwater Report.
My general response is that they really missed the target. I don't believe that that cost shift issue was really the driving force to why we did Medicaid restoration. It really was about first taking care of people and families, second trying to stabilize the healthcare system that was imploding under the weight of uncompensated care, and third to try to revitalize one of the really important sectors to Arizona's economy. On those three scores, Medicaid restoration has been an unqualified success.
There was concern that emergency departments, emergency rooms, were being used too much, which was causing long waits. It was causing enormous costs when it came to these emergency departments who would not turn away people who needed service. Now, what the Goldwater Report is saying that it did alleviate emergency department use by the uninsured, but it cost significantly more. What's your response to that?
So hospital emergency rooms really are the last resort for people without coverage or in need, partly because hospitals are legally committed to doing it, but morally they are as well. And it's also really the wrong place to get care. Much more what we want people to do is seek care earlier when there's more that something can be done. So it really is just the wrong place to begin with. In terms of the cost, we have seen a reduction of that. And again, I think there's things we would agree with in terms of the study done by the Goldwater Institute, that the charge and the cost shift ratio has increased, but that's to be expected because that's really a product of the rates hospitals are paid, not the coverage. Hospitals have not seen a rate increase until this last legislative session since 2008 and have seen several reductions. And that's really what's driving the cost shift and the increase in costs, not the coverage part of restoration.
Greg, urban versus rural, of course, there's been a concern about shortage of physicians and shortage of nurses in the state as a whole, and it's even starker in rural Arizona as well. What about when it comes to Medicaid expansion, Medicaid restoration? How has that affected the urban versus rural divide in Arizona?
It's helped. It was, I think, oversold, even probably by us at the time, about the importance of Medicaid restoration as the core thing that needs to be done to help save care in rural areas. So it's an important piece, but we found as soon as it passed that there was a lot more to be done around providers, around getting hospitals some more support, around a whole series of issues. So the work has continued. It's gotten better. It's still a touch-and-go situation for many rural communities, so we've got even more plans to continue and increase policies that will make sure that we have care out there for our vulnerable rural populations.
Let's look big picture. We know that obviously a huge election coming up, and we know that there has been the effort to repeal and replace the ACA, which didn't go through. What are you watching from the standpoint of your job to see what could happen next in terms of what federal officials decide to do in terms of whether it's modifying the ACA or doing something else in terms of health care reform as it relates to Medicaid coverage here in Arizona?
Well, we have always believed that we need to dramatically improve the health care system and how it works. Even before restoration and through restoration, we saw that as really a safety valve measure that just needed to be done to make sure the system didn't implode. We're still in the same place. I think we were pretty troubled and opposed to most of the efforts last year to repeal and replace because they were mostly about repealing without any viable replacement for what would be best for patients and communities and providers and Arizona's economy. I think we're ready to engage in positive reforms, but we're ready again to fight vigorously against anything that will really just pull the rug out from Arizona's patients and the communities across the state.
Greg Vigdor is president and CEO of the Arizona Hospital and Healthcare Association. Greg, thanks for your time as always.
My pleasure.